It is the end of August, and Latino USA producer Maggie Freeling and I are in Odessa, in the heart of West Texas.
Here, take my jacket.
We're with the Democratic candidate for governor of Texas. Her name is Sheriff Lupe Valdez, and we're following her on the campaign trail. Right now, we're with her at a Mexican restaurant, and she's trying to dish out enchiladas.
An enchilada is trying to run away.
It's 2 months until Election Day, and today, Sheriff Valdez is helping a church feed the homeless.
Are you helping us?
Of course.
All right.
Sheriff, let's get you an apron.
Okay. Sheriff Valdez is a short little lady, and once the enchiladas are plated up, she tries to carry the big tray of food as her campaign staff looks on nervously.
I got it, I got it. Put your hands up.
Water was just spilt, and it's really wet and slippery out there. I really don't think it's just like
the man that you hear repeatedly trying to wrangle the sheriff is one of her campaign staffers. His name is Juan Bautista Dominguez.
Let's bring it back, Sheriff. Sheriff.
And wrangling the sheriff is something Juan and other staffers have gotten used to because, well, she's a pretty independent woman, to say the least.
Right. Being part of the Lupe Valdez for governor team is like being part of a small, loving family trying to do what's best for their stubborn grandma.
She just turned 71, by the way.
We've
got call time.
Can I finish my salad?
But even though she might seem quirky or carefree, Lupe Valdez is also highly accomplished and focused. Right now, she's on a mission to flip the Texas governor seat blue for the first time in nearly 30 years. And if she does, she'll be the first openly gay and Latina governor of the state of Texas. That is, if she can get Latino voters to turn out for her. And that's the hard part. From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, can a gay, Latina, Democrat sheriff appeal to voters across all of Texas? It's super early in the morning in El Paso, and Latino USA producer Maggie Freeling and I are in a parking lot.
What time is it?
6:32 in El Paso.
Where's the sheriff?
She is having coffee.
Oh, boy, I guess we should go.
We're meeting the Lupe Valdez for Governor caravan at a Starbucks.
Yes, sir.
This is Ms. Hinojosa.
Hi, ¿cómo está?
How are you? Maggie, hi, nice to meet you.
We're going to go with them on the Midland-Odessa leg of their campaign trip through West Texas.
While the sheriff's staff is loading up the truck, she sits down to talk with us. She's antsy and energetic, even this early.
I have trouble sitting here not helping. Because I want to get out there and help.
Help him do what?
Load the truck. You know, we put all that stuff in and out. Usually I put on some yucky clothes first and then change into other clothes. But I have no idea what the schedule is like today. So just dress to be ready to whatever.
She's wearing white dress pants, a white collared shirt, a peachy pink blazer, and to top off the look, black running sneakers.
Is this typical for you, Sheriff?
No.
She's more comfortable in casual clothes.
Sheriff Valdez is sometimes described as a salt of the earth type of person. She's not a big policy wonk. She relies more on her background to appeal to voters. And she has a campaign video about it.
Every day she'd go into the bathroom before class to clean her shoes. It might seem like a small thing, but she was the only girl who came from a place that had no streets or sidewalks, just dirt.
Lupe Valdez was born into a Mexican-American family of migrant farm workers. She was raised in a poor area of San Antonio. The youngest of eight children, she paid her way through college, eventually getting a master's degree in criminology and criminal justice.
Most of her brothers and sisters didn't even finish school because the family followed the crops.
After that, she joined the Army National Guard and eventually became a senior federal agent at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, right when it was formed. At times, working undercover.
Later to South America, where she gathered intelligence on drug traffickers.
She retired from Homeland Security to run for sheriff of Dallas County. At the time, one of the largest police departments in the country. And she won, becoming the first openly gay Latina sheriff in the United States. She spent over 12 years in that position.
And that was no small thing.
And so, at age 70, Lupe Valdez says she saw an opportunity to continue to serve Texas. She resigned as sheriff
so she can run for governor of Texas. And with this announcement, Sheriff Lupe Valdez, she instantly becomes the Democratic frontrunner with this decision, although she will become the seventh Democrat to announce. And tomorrow, Andrew White, the son of former Texas Governor Mark White, is also
after a tight primary race back in May, Sheriff Valdez beat challenger Andrew White, whose father was governor in the 1980s.
Celebrating victory.
And now, Lupe Valdez is facing the incumbent Republican governor of Texas, Greg Abbott,
who is seeking re-election.
And he has fairly high approval ratings.
We reached out multiple times to the governor's office for an interview, but we have not heard back. And despite Abbott's popularity, Sheriff Valdez is campaigning on the message that the Republicans who run Texas care more about special interests than people.
So what's your motivation today?
The same as it is every day. The everyday Texan has not been hurt in Texas.
And she considers herself the person who will give these people a voice because she says she herself is an everyday Texan, starting with, well, her very recognizable pickup truck.
That's so Texas.
This is my Tacoma truck, Toyota Tacoma truck, and it's got my name for governor and a picture.
You're kind of plastered on the back of your truck right there.
Just a section. I mean, it's not wrapped all the way around.
Instead of being carted around in a luxury campaign bus, she's putting on the miles in her own personal vehicle with her name and photo on the back.
It's a little dangerous because if people don't like you, you know, we're going up to some parts that a Hispanic person may not be as well liked.
You ever gotten the finger?
Yeah. But it probably wasn't for this. It was probably for our driving.
So we got in the car and hoped their driving wasn't that bad.
For how long? How many hours are we going to be in the car?
Five hours.
Is that all?
Once we're all aboard, we hit the campaign trail.
I'm going to a function.
And on the way, we chat with one of the sheriff's campaign staffers. Her name is Yolitzma Aguirre.
We're heading out to what most folks know as West Texas, which is Odessa, Midland, Big Spring.
Yolitzma tells us that she joined Sheriff Valdez's campaign right after Donald Trump was elected. She felt obligated to get politically active. So when she found out Sheriff Valdez was running for governor in her home state of Texas,
I just died a thousand deaths. I was just like, oh my God, yes, I love her. I often tell people, for me, after Selena, there hasn't been anyone that has impacted my life that I can see myself in, like a woman of color. You know, she's brown like me. She speaks Spanish and English like me. She reflects to so many pockets of voters. You know, she's just like us. The other day, a tree branch fell. There she was with a chainsaw, cutting it up so that it wouldn't get in the way of pedestrians. And yeah, she's one of us. I definitely feel we now have a candidate that is of the people.
And if Sheriff Valdez wins, she'll help fulfill a longtime dream of the Democrats, to turn Texas blue.
For decades, the Texas governor's seat was solidly Democrat. There were Democratic governors almost every year since it became a state, in 1845 all the way through the 1970s. 38 Democrats, 2 Republicans.
Of course, the parties used to be very different back then.
Then in 1979, the state flipped back and forth, blue to red, until 1995, when George W. Bush took office as governor. And since then, Texas has voted consistently Republican for both state and national elections. Republicans currently control the state Senate and the state House of Representatives.
Right. And so, Maria, that's why today many people feel a Democrat doesn't have a chance, because Texas has been deep red for over 20 years.
There have been challengers, though.
Wendy Davis gave it a good shot. She was a Democratic Texas senator who became famous after nearly a half a day filibuster to block an anti-abortion bill.
Texas state senator that everyone is talking about, Wendy Davis, a Democrat, took a stand against a bill restricting abortions in the state.
She ran for governor in last election cycle and lost to Governor Abbott by a 20-point margin.
Right. So if a Democratic darling like Wendy Davis couldn't win in the state of Texas, what really are the chances for Sheriff Valdez?
Well,
remember, she beat 7 people to make it to the runoff, and she won in the runoff. So we're consistent in victory.
In fact, even when Lupe Valdez ran for sheriff of Dallas, she was also the underdog. But she won, and won again, 4 times in a row.
So she's got a track record of breaking barriers and shattering those glass ceilings.
And some analysts say Texas really could turn blue. The state is getting younger and browner. Latinos are expected to become the majority of Texans by 2022. And while Latinos in Texas are a little more conservative than elsewhere in the nation, they tend to favor Democrats.
In fact, some experts argue in the next presidential election, Texas will be a toss-up state. And so all this brings us to one of the sheriff's biggest talking points.
Texas is not a red state. It's a non-voting state. If the people would vote, we would win.
She's right about the non-voting part. The state has one of the lowest voter participation rates in the country. And many of those non-voters are Latinos. Texas has the second largest eligible population of Latino voters nationally. Yet only 27% say they will absolutely vote in the midterm election, compared to 65% for non-Hispanic whites. And for the sheriff to win, she needs to get Latino voters out to the polls, especially first-time Latino voters. And she thinks she can do it.
If you give them something to vote for, something they identify with, there's a better possibility that they'll come out to vote.
And she's even going around registering Latino voters one at a time.
Oh, they didn't put gas in your car.
I gotta get gas.
Right. And we saw this for ourselves when we stopped along I-10 to get gas and the sheriff started chatting up the cashier.
Are you able to vote? Are you
yes,
a U.S. citizen?
Yeah.
The cashier's name is Tessie Ramirez.
I'm gonna bring you a registration form.
And it turns out she's an unregistered potential voter.
Send it in.
Are you gonna register now?
Yeah.
So maybe a plus one for the sheriff?
Well, you know, every vote counts, right?
Right. So after this, we hop in the car, head to the next campaign event. We stop for lunch.
Chopped tuna salad.
Go through an immigration checkpoint.
How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
All U.S. citizens?
Yes, sir.
You guys drive safe. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir.
And arrive at the Mexican restaurant in Odessa. Cameras and reporters are waiting for the sheriff when we arrive.
Everyday Texans are struggling.
Mostly she talks about economic issues, things like college affordability and health care. And she often brings up her own background as the child of poor migrant workers to help her message resonate.
I know what it is to try and decide between a doctor or the rent.
We step away and start chatting with some of the people who are at the event. We walk over to an elderly trio and I ask them, why do they like Sheriff Valdez?
She has a lot of great qualities, and women can do these things.
This is Joan Hurd. She's here with her friend, Marian Atkins Reedy. They're both lifelong Democrats in their 70s and 80s. And like the sheriff, they tell us there's more Democrats in Texas than you might think. And they share a laugh with her about this.
So they're coming out of the closet.
That's what we say, the closet yes, Democrats.
They'll say stuff like, wow, I didn't know there was more Democrats around here.
But it was a little surprising to find that in a predominantly Latino city like Odessa, that the people who came out to support her are the longtime older white Democrats.
Not the first-time Latino voters she needs to turn out if she wants to win.
And at her next campaign event, this problem seems to get worse. That's coming up. Stay with us. No te vayas.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Newsy, the TV news channel with honest, in-depth context on the stories that matter. Newsy is for people who aren't satisfied with getting only the loudest part of the story. Newsy delivers more context, more solutions, and greater understanding of the people and events that shape our world. Learn more at newsy.com/watch. We'd like to say a quick thank you and share a message from one of our sponsors, Sony Music Latin, presenting Grammy Award-winning artist Ile, a Puerto Rican singer and composer known for her work with Calle 13. Her debut album, Inevitable, garnered her a Best New Artist nomination at the Latin Grammys and subsequently won the award for Best Latin Rock, Urban, or Alternative Album at the 60th Annual Grammy Awards. Her new single and video, titled Odio, is available everywhere now.
I'm Ophira Eisenberg. Join me on NPR's Ask Me Another as we challenge contestants and celebrities to nerdy word games, music parodies, and ponderful trivia. Find us every week on the NPR One app and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, we're back, and Latino USA producer Maggie Freeling and I are following Sheriff Lupe Valdez on the campaign trail. She's the Democratic candidate for governor of the state of Texas.
And after stopping in Odessa, we drove about an hour northeast to Howard College in Big Spring, Texas, another majority Latino city.
We walk into a air-conditioned room at the college, and we wait for the Howard County Democrats to announce that Sheriff Valdez is their guest.
But as they're listing off her credentials, the sheriff isn't really paying attention. Instead, she leans over to us and points to a guy in the corner with a camera.
That's my Greg Abbott tracker.
What?
That's my Greg Abbott tracker. He's paid by Greg Abbott to track me everywhere I go and take my speeches. At first, people started throwing him out, and then I said, oh, no, no. You know, the guy's just doing a job. We're Democrats. We're decent.
Hi. Suddenly, she's called up to the stage. She's caught a little bit off guard as she heads up to the podium. And we're watching her walk up, and then we kind of get a chance to look at who is in the room.
Right. So if up until this point, it seems like Lupe Valdez is the candidate who has what it takes to deliver Texas to the Democrats, the candidate who is of the people and for the people, law enforcement, LGBTQ, POC, working class, well, this is where that notion hits a bump in the road. There's about 35 people in the room we're in, and we notice a potentially devastating campaign flaw. Young people, specifically the lack thereof.
I'm not really sure. We're trying to get them out.
This is Reina Cisneros, the Howard County Democratic chair. And looking around the room, there are no young people here at all. And we are at a college. There are students everywhere. School is in session.
There's actually a room full of college students next door to us in the cafeteria eating lunch.
I don't think they're going to turn out as much as the older individuals. I mean, I think that's kind of our problem, is how do we get them to turn out? And I'm really not sure what the answer is or what the solution is.
And we're not the only ones who notice this.
A September Quinnipiac poll has Sheriff Valdez's favorability rating among young people 10 points lower than Governor Abbott's.
Younger voters are important for Democrats to win in any state. And one-third of eligible Latino voters in Texas are ages 18 to 29. That's a large portion of Latino voters in a state where the Latino vote is key. But here we are at a college where nearly half of the students are Latinos and Latinas, and none of them are at this event. So there are a few things that could be contributing to what seems to be a lack of enthusiasm for Valdez, particularly from young voters. The first problem the sheriff has is name recognition. Not enough people know who she is.
And part of this is advertising, and that comes down to money, which the sheriff has a lot less of than her opponent. Governor Abbott has raised over $65 million in campaign funds compared to the sheriff's less than half a million.
But there's something else at play here, something that goes deeper into Lupe Valdez as a candidate.
During the Democratic primary, Jolt Texas, a political mobilization group for young Latinos, didn't endorse the sheriff. They endorsed her rival, Andrew White. They said it was because of her record as sheriff of Dallas. They pointed out that during her tenure, Sheriff Valdez cooperated with federal immigration authorities by holding immigrants in her jail cells when requested and handing them over to ICE.
We spoke with Antonio Arellano from Jolt about his concerns,
And he said he was disappointed when the sheriff didn't have a good answer about this at a forum aimed at young Latino voters in April.
So we wanted to hear her kind of take accountability for her record, and she just didn't. We would like to see her take more of a bold and fearless stance.
The New York Times reported that one of the students who was in the audience the day of the forum said, quote, "You were a Latina when you were helping deport people, so why should I trust you now?"
The sheriff told us she didn't have a choice. She was required by law to cooperate with ICE. And in fairness, she did famously go head-to-head with Governor Abbott in 2015. She was refusing to honor ICE requests to hold people who were accused of minor offenses. Since Andrew White lost the Democratic primary, Jolt is now endorsing her for governor. But Antonio says,
going forward, we would want to see an action plan that protects undocumented immigrants.
I asked Sheriff Valdez whether she will take on what some of the younger progressives want her to do to protect undocumented immigrants. Things like fighting to shut down detention centers and to stop deportations.
Are you prepared to go to that
place? I am prepared to go that place, but I don't have that power. This is a federal issue that the governor...
You could make a statement. What would be your statement?
No, I wouldn't just make a statement. I take action. Action can be taken on SB4. SB4 is a cruel bill and is affecting the undocumented. That is something I can do.
What she's talking about is the ban in Texas on so-called sanctuary cities. It's a law called SB4, and it was signed by Governor Abbott last year.
Hi, I'm Governor Greg Abbott.
He broadcast the moment in a Facebook Live video.
As I sign a law that will ban sanctuary cities in Texas.
The law essentially forces local police to work with federal immigration officials, and it allows police to ask people they stop for their papers.
It ensures that law enforcement officers in Texas can and will cooperate with ICE.
Sheriff Valdez opposes the law and has made it one of the biggest issues of her campaign. She also supports allowing undocumented immigrants to pay in-state tuition.
But then we ask her about another policy that many young progressives are pushing for.
Is abolish ICE part of your platform?
ICE needs to be reformed.
You're not saying abolish.
The original task of ICE was to keep people out who would do harm. They've gone away from that, and it needs to be reformed. But do you honestly want nobody to make sure that another attack on a major city is not going to happen? Do you honestly just want them to let them come in and do an attack on the cities?
Sounds a little Republican, what you're saying right there.
No, it doesn't. It sounds like we want to protect our country.
And so maybe some Republicans might like this strong borders, national security rhetoric. Maybe she can make up for the lack of enthusiasm of some young Democrats by winning over some Republicans. But that's not going to be so easy given how polarized the parties are these days. When we were in Odessa, we met a Republican voter at the Mexican restaurant who told us,
"Tell me you're Democrat, I know where you're at and where you stand, and that is not where I stand."
Period, point blank. So you're like, "Hi, nice to see you. I don't even want to hear what you have to say."
Well, one of the big reasons is because Democrats are going so hard socialist. They're unabashed now. It's just that's what big government, let's raise the taxes so we can take from the rich and give to the poor.
So here lies the crux of the problem for Sheriff Valdez. Her staff believes that her unique story of being the first gay Latina sheriff in the country will reach a broad range of Texans. But it could end up having the opposite effect and turn off people from both sides. Even the largest police union of Texas is endorsing Governor Abbott.
I'm being challenged from all areas. They're challenging me. So are the people who don't like Latinos. So are the people who don't like lesbians. So are the people who don't like strong women. I get challenged from everywhere.
And so even if voters do come out for her en masse, she also faces systemic challenges. In Texas, voter suppression is a big issue. According to the ACLU, Texas voter ID laws disproportionately affect people of color, a large part of Sheriff Valdez's base.
So we're back in the car, taking all of this into consideration as we're driving to the final stop for the day in Midland, Texas. And I asked the sheriff.
There are people who also say, look, Wendy Davis tried to do this. She was something of an American political hero for a moment there. She could not win the governorship. What makes you think you can do this?
Okay. I came from the poorest zip code in San Antonio to now the nominee for the governor of Texas. That's a long ways to come. And guess what? The little child in the barrio, in the colonia, in the ghetto, in rural Texas can have that same opportunity. There was an LA reporter who came over here right almost at the beginning. And the title of her piece was Lupe Valdez, Even If She Loses, Texas Wins.
Lupe Valdez very well might lose this election. She's down 20 points. The sheriff herself says it's an uphill battle.
But on the other hand,
I am so glad to see you here.
The sheriff recently went on a big city tour, attending festivals and concerts, including one in Dallas with popular Senate hopeful Beto O'Rourke and popular rock band Spoon. And she was speaking to crowds of people there.
Thank you, thank you. Lupe Valdez, ladies and gentlemen.
And the Pew Research Center says that national voter enthusiasm this election cycle is at the highest level during any midterm in more than two decades, especially for Democratic voters. So who knows? Maybe there's still a chance the polls are underestimating her and that Lupe Valdez will surprise everyone and win. Or maybe the Democratic dream of turning Texas blue will have to wait for another election. This episode was reported by myself and Maggie Freeling. It was edited by Marlon Bishop. The Latino USA team includes Miguel Macias, Sofia Paliza Carr, Antonia Cerejido, Janice Yamoga, Sayer Quevedo, and Maya Cueva, with help from Fernanda Chavarri. Fact-checking this week by Jennifer Velez. Our engineer is Stephanie LeBeau. Additional engineering this week by Rebecca Weinman. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholz. Our fellows are Virginia Lora and Jesse Alejandro Cottrell. Our interns are Paula Mora and Comis Johnson. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. I'll see you there. Hasta la próxima. Ciao.
This episode of NPR's Latino USA was made possible with support from the Rockefeller Brothers Fund and Winecoat Foundation and the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide.
It's the end of August in the heart of West Texas. Former sheriff, enchiladas.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, what happens when your sister is sentenced to 15 years in prison? If you're a filmmaker named Rudy Valdez, you make a documentary.
Conspiracy is knowledge. Any knowledge that you have of a crime, you can be charged with that crime.
The new HBO documentary, The Sentence, next time on Latino USA.
I'm Linda Holmes. There's more stuff to watch these days than you can ever get to. That's why we make Pop Culture Happy Hour. Twice a week, we give you the lowdown on what's worth your time and what's not. Find Pop Culture Happy Hour on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.